It's time to get organized this new year with Menards. Update your closet system and add style today with Closet Culture. Choose from two closet finishes and four colors of shelf boards to create a functional yet stylish closet solution that matches your home decor. Check out all our Closet Culture closet kits or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com to see all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Bumper Sticker Wisdom. I am John.
And I'm Aiden.
Hey, Aiden's back. Today, Jason will not be with us as he is helping his daughter celebrate the birth of her first child and his first grandchild. Congratulations, Jason.
Yeah, we're happy.
Grandpa, we are happy for you. I don't know what you plan on being called, but I'm the immortal G-Paw. So Aiden has agreed to step in and help us out today. So I'll say a quick little prayer and we'll get started. Heavenly Father, we just want to lift this whole thing up to you, Father, and just let us be reminded that we are working for you and not for ourselves. So we just want to surrender everything to you, surrender our thoughts, surrender our words, and just allow us to say what it is that you need us to say for your people, Father. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Man, so you're just going to dive right in.
Yes, sir.
Did you have anything specific already in mind? Or, you know, I already have kind of a topic I want to talk about. But
well, based off of your topic, like I said, okay. I have some stuff about subject about persecution, you know.
Okay.
Scripture, at least.
So I'll have to lay this out for everybody. So I had an instance today where I wouldn't say I got my feelings hurt, but I felt like it was a little bit of an attack, but it was also like a little humbler, if that makes sense. And
a wake-up call.
Yeah, a little bit. And I think that God sends things in our path at times not to persecute us, but to make us recognize, hey, you could probably do a little bit more here or, you know, improve here. So today I had a gentleman that came and talked to me about listening to our podcast for the first time, and he was just telling me, you know, he listened to the first one and the most recent one, so that's episode 1 and episode 29, and I was like, yeah, you heard the worst and probably the best we've done yet.
Yeah,
and
he was, drastic difference there.
And he was like, yeah, man, you guys do a really good job. I like what I'm hearing. I'd like to hear more, or I'm going to need to listen to more. He said, but I had no idea that you were spiritual at all, and my initial reaction was like, I'm doing something terribly wrong. You know what I mean? And so that's where that, what I would call discouragement, started to set in my life, because I started to think about these scriptures like, let's see, Titus chapter 2, verse 7, it says, and you yourself must be an example to them by doing good works of every kind. Let everything you do reflect the integrity and seriousness of your teaching. There's another one in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. And last one that came up, and whatever you, this is a Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, and whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. And I started thinking about, wow, you know, all these things that I'm kind of like, this podcast is important, and I'm very passionate about it, and I'm trying really hard to help people who are kind of in the same place as me, but also, you know, Jason has a message that can help somebody that I can't help, and, you know, Tanner and you, and we all have a sphere of influence that we can help, and we're all really trying to motivate people towards Christ. But then I heard this, and I'm like, what am I doing outside of these places? You know what I mean? If I'm not obviously spiritual of some kind, right. You know what I mean?
And like we were talking about before, about, you know, publicly speaking about it. Like,
yeah.
I don't think you necessarily have to shout it from the rooftops, but yeah, you, like we were talking about with my situation that happened as well.
Yeah.
We're definitely doing something wrong if it's not clear.
Yeah. And it, so I started to really kind of go down the rabbit hole of negativity, and I felt like the enemy was latching onto that really good for a minute. And then my mindset started to change. And, you know, again, it was like, see, everything you're doing is meaningless. You know what I mean? And you start to get in your own head and start to think you're doing all this good. And then, you know, life sends you a little humbler. Right. And I think it was an opportunity for God to remind me that, hey, all of the things you're doing, I'm not disappointed by. I want you to continue doing those things. But you got to recognize that there are other places where you're not as committed, right? And you're not maybe being as, obvious, right? Because you know as well as anybody who knows me personally, I don't really wear that face that is approachable or joyful, or, and it's not intentional, right? I don't do it intentionally, but I don't even recognize that I'm like that. And it was a kick in the butt there for a minute, and it, like, in a negative way at first, but then I recognized that the fact that it came up, I still have a chance to change it.
Right.
Right.
Would you consider that, like, testing?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it is a bit, because I can have two responses. Right, I could allow that to get deep within me, get deep within my heart, and shut everything off, right, and not do any of it. Or I could choose to recognize it as an opportunity for growth and go grow.
Right. And when you were talking about that, look down, James 1:12, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him.
Yeah. Because God is good, you know what I mean? And he's faithful. And I think that sometimes we forget how faithful he is. And I think that too, yes, we are supposed to act in a way that is pleasing to others and makes others want to be in the same place or be on the same path, right? We're supposed to make this Christian walk look appealing.
Right.
But we're also all so flawed and so broken that we're not going to get it right 100% of the time. But I don't want to give myself the excuse that, well, I'm at work. I don't want to, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to, and I'm not saying I'm not going to be out there walking by everybody and saying, you believe in Jesus or, you know, any of that stuff. But I should conduct myself in a way that presents those things, the fruits of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the gentleness, the goodness, and the self-control. And I guess, if I'm being honest, I'm probably not doing a real good job of that. You know what I mean?
Well, I guess I don't feel the same way. Or I feel the same way. I don't feel like I'm doing quite the best job I should be.
Right. I didn't feel like it was persecution necessarily.
Yeah, because I guess persecution comes from others, not...
Right, and I don't think that he was trying... I don't think he intended it to be like that, right?
But no, but with your walk and how you feel about your love and, your, like I said, your path with Christ, I mean, yeah, you're going to attack yourself. Or not even just attack yourself, but be aware of where you're messing up.
Yeah.
So I don't necessarily see it as a bad thing. You could have let it be a bad thing.
Yeah, it started there. And I think that you want to talk about these things too, because sometimes even though I know, like, look, I know that this is a process. You know, we're running the race. You know what I mean? And so yeah. I'm not going to be at the end of the race because the gun has fired. I got to get through all the stuff in between too. So I have an opportunity to grow every single time. But, you know, even though I know all of that, there is still a part of your psyche or part of your heart that's like, man, but am I, right? But am I able to change? You know what I mean? Am I able to grow? And I think that that's when you start talking about testing, yes, it is testing, but I think it's also about what we were talking about that endurance, that steadfastness. You know, it's not about patience. It's about standing in the midst of the storm and being able to, once the storm has passed, say, oh, I was able to get through that. But you had something kind of similar to that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, the dude, he just kind of caught me in the middle of kind of preaching to somebody. And when I told him that's what I was doing, he was like, real or joking? And when I talked to him later, he was like, yeah, dude, I would have never guessed that you believed or you followed any of that. And I was like, well, that's probably my fault, which, I mean, obviously
it is. It definitely is. Really, right now, that as far as all that other stuff, you know, as far as this is concerned, that's kind of that and just kind of, I don't know, I guess we constantly all struggle with the, you sent me a long text message last night. It was interesting that it came when it did, but it, I think, you know, we all kind of struggle with, what would we call it, like,
accepting yourself or
that, accepting the fact that you're worthy, that the things that you're doing are good, you know, that you are called, you know what I mean? Like, we're all called to be disciples, but we're also all called to be fishers and grow more disciples. Right. And so I think we all struggle. It's really hard when you lead people or when you try to lead people and you see people going the opposite direction of what we've been talking about, you know?
Yeah.
But then you say that, and then you look at yourself and you examine yourself and you're like, well, I'm no different and I'm no better. You know what I mean? I'm doing the same things. And then I start thinking like how frustrated God must be with us at times and how frustrated Christ would have been as a man with me, right, in general. And then I have to remember like that it's not about me, it's about Christ, right? And yes, I'm here to help, and we're here to help. We're meant to help people, you know, advance and grow and learn, but it's not up to me.
And you know, on top of that, last night actually, you know, I think I just finished, how do you say that? I don't want to say it wrong.
Second Thessalonians.
I was reading through those
which
two,
interestingly enough, I just read both of those yesterday.
Yeah, I just finished that one last night. Well, reading through all of these letters that Paul was sending, mm-hmm. and of course, I'm not going to go off and say that because what I'm about to bring up, I'm not going to say that it doesn't exist anymore or no one does it, but the amount of love that Paul talks about between them and the love they give to newcomers or each other.
Yes.
I wrote about it and I was like, you know, where did that go? Because a lot of, now hear me out here, I would say there is a lot of people that kind of have a fake attitude towards
true,
that.
It's true.
Like we were talking about with that psalm a minute ago, like, they're like a Sunday worshiper, you know what I mean?
Yep.
So there's people I've met that only certain days do they have that love and kindness in them, and the next day it's like, well, screw everybody else.
Yeah, gosh, man, yeah.
And I really was just like, where did it go? What happened from then to now that made everybody truthfully so selfish, that made us all, and I'm not excluding myself.
I'm not excluding myself, yeah.
Because even sometimes with the people I really care about, I'm just like, man, would you just go away, you know, you're really making me mad or something. And I think, you know, me and you both struggle with that anger and getting pretty irritated pretty easily. Like little things just get under my skin and I'm like, immediately though, my head is, why is that bothering me so much? Let it go. Well, why let it go? Why is it fair that they get to do that?
Yeah.
Why is it fair that you get to react that way?
Right. Well, but see, here's the thing though. We grow and we learn and we start to, so yes, you do get irritated, but you've learned how to process it in a way that's not destructive,
right?
And that's what we're talking about with this relationship. And I think that you're touching on a couple of things. Number one, where's the love? Bro, it's buried underneath generations of hatred and generations of unbelief and sin
and material.
Yeah, like the love of money is the root of all evil. It's not the paper itself. It doesn't do anything. It's us.
It's what you use it for.
Yeah, it comes to us. You know what I mean? And people do terrible, terrible things to get money and terrible, terrible things to keep money and with money. They do terrible things. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to get into all the implications of the terrible, terrible stuff that's going on out there in the world with human trafficking and drugs and all, and I there's too long a list of crap, right? And murder and all that. There's too long a list, but we are meant to, like we talked about our sphere of influence, right? Like I'm able to influence people that you are not. You're able to influence people that I am not. And so how do we help, right? We recognize there's a problem. How do we fix it? By loving each other, right? And so how the scripture I shared today for Bumper Sticker Wisdom was, you know, this is how that they will know that you are my disciples, your love for one another, right? That's how we are supposed to, how do we change the world? First of all, it's one person at a time, and we do it with love. That's the end of discussion. Those are the two key ingredients.
And I think something that a lot of us do, and again, including myself here, you know, the scripture tells us that you'll be judged by the way you judge.
Ooh, and I have that scares me.
I have a notorious problem with someone just slights me one time, and then from that point forward, I just think they're the most terrible person I've ever met. You know, just give them dirty looks or avoid any interaction I can. I've been trying to really break that off.
We won't say any names or anything like that because we don't want to disrespect anybody, but one of your brothers is very much about respect. And if you disrespect him,
it's done.
It's done. You know what I'm saying? And look, the thing about him is he's a very impassioned person. He's tense, but he loves deeply.
Oh, yeah.
If he loves you, he will
He will do some things.
He will do some things to help you. He will put you on his back if he has to.
And I want to put this out there too, since we're not going to say names as much, because I know him more than he realizes, and I think we're a lot more alike than he realizes.
Yeah.
He puts up a facade that he has no heart, but he's very sensitive in a good way. Like he's got a lot of heart in him. He just doesn't like to show it.
Yeah, yeah. And well, it's because he feels like it's a dangerous thing, right? And look, I'm the same. Like very guarded to myself.
Oh, I feel you.
Right? I'm very guarded. And so like last week I kind of was talking to Jason about this a little bit. Like, and I said something I didn't mean to say, but I was talking about like how his friendship had become one of the most important friendships that I had ever had. And then I had to tack onto it and say, but I haven't had a whole lot of friends in my life. like the bar's not real high. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But what I was trying to say is like, the thing is the reason that I haven't had a lot of friends in my life is because I'm so protective. And so the fact that I have bared myself out to you and I've been vulnerable to you, you have my heart in your hands. You know what I'm saying?
You hold a very important place, and there's a lot of me that you have not control of.
Yeah.
But if you squander it, if you crush it, you ruin it, you're changing me forever. You know, you're doing some. The dog waggling his head.
He doesn't like being trapped in here.
But that's
what I was trying to say. And again, I don't think he took offense to it or anything like that, but it was just like, why did you say that? You know what I mean? That didn't help the conversation, but it's really, you know, that's how I view all of us, me, all of what I'll call the T-boys, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like myself and my three sons, it's not that we're emotionally unavailable. We are very emotional people, but you have to earn it.
I was like, each of us, obviously I'll include Grandpa, so I'd say there's five of us, been through a lot of things in our own personal lives, and then, of course, as a family. And we've all learned how to have a great, big, mighty shield between us and everybody. So
yeah, you're not lying.
But, like, of course, growing up, the specific brother you're referring to, mm-hmm. we had a lot of headbutting between the two of us, me and him. But over the years, again, like I was saying a minute ago, we've grown, I think, very close, and I've been able to get away with certain things that no one else can. Like how you said, you can say a lot to Grandpa that no one else can, and vice versa. You know
absolutely.
And me and this brother, like, we weren't super close as kids, but we've grown a lot closer in our adult life. And
I'll tell you, raising you guys, I don't know if you ever remember me saying it to you guys before, but, like, y'all would talk a lot about hating each other sometimes.
Yeah.
I hate him or whatever. And I'm like, bro, stop. That's your brother. It's always your brother. And I promise you, one of these days, You're going to need him.
Oh, I can tell you a story about this specific brother. Is
awesome.
In high school, well, of course, random people won't know who I'm talking about, but I know you will obviously do. But this brother is, at the time, was very small. Smaller than me, but much fiercer than me at the same time. You know.
Oh, yeah.
But one time, something happened. This kid like threw a water bottle or something, and it soaked me and this girlfriend I had. And I didn't really care. I just brushed it off. But this brother, me and him did not get along. We kind of almost, like I said, almost like hated each other. Yeah. Always at each other's throats. Well, this dude was ready to go to juvie over that. He was ready to just beat the brakes off this kid over nothing. I was like, dude, relax.
Whoa, easy.
But it made me like realize, you know, he's a different kind of person. You know, he's very passionate.
Yeah, he is. And he loves intensely. And you know, that's the thing. That's the cool thing about people, good and bad. Like our most valuable trait is also usually our most destructive. You know what I'm saying? So like my stubbornness, which in the positive way is resilience, never quit, never say die, I don't care how bad it is, attitude, can also be stonewall. You're not going to change my mind. You're not going to get me to do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, or you're not, I can be very, very, very stubborn in a negative way. Thankfully, I found Christ, and some of that has softened, right? I'm still apt to being the person that I know to be, but I don't always, right? So I bat more like, batting 185 rather than 075 now, you know what I mean? So I'm getting it right more like 18% of the time than before I was getting it maybe 1 or 2% of the time, right? You know what I mean? So that's what this walk is about, is growing and learning how to do things in a constructive way and be a positive and do the positive thing instead of the negative. And everything you read, when he talks about what the fruits of the Spirit are, everything prior to that is like, hey, these are constructive behaviors. These are build you up behaviors. Everything before that is destructive behaviors. You know what I mean? That tear things down. That's why we don't want you to do them. It's not to take anything away from you. It's to help you avoid the destruction.
Right. And it's like, I'll bring this up. I have several people that disagree with, like, avoiding lustful things, right? Uh-huh. And someone very close to me is always like, well, why would I sacrifice something that I enjoy for nothing in return? I'm like, well, you're getting something in return. You don't realize it. But
yeah.
Also, it's not just telling you to avoid lust just because, like, this is my rules. If you break it, yep. You're done. It's yep. like, you're not grasping what that lust is doing to you, what it,
yep.
what impacts it has, because lust is about more than sexual things. It's lust for money,
yeah,
lust for vengeance,
yep.
you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yep. We do kind of lean towards sexual stuff when we say lust and lustful behavior,
right?
But
like it's an irresistible desire.
Yeah, that yeah.
So
yeah.
That's why I say, you know, for money.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's an appropriate statement. People use that, you know what I mean? And I think that if you're talking about from the sexual perspective, like people think that you're missing out on something. So everybody wants to lose their virginity and not go into wait till marriage for sex and all that kind of stuff. And I get it. I'm no different. I had kids at 17. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not preaching to anybody. I'm just telling you, like, I have learned over time, though, pornographic material, desiring other women, fantasizing and stuff like that. Like, dude, it affects your relationships with the person that you're supposed to be doing these things with. You know what I mean?
Not even just that, but, like, again, in the age we live in, pornographic stuff is easily accessible.
Oof,
and it's
gross.
Made a lustful generation. And again, I have a friend that didn't quite understand that. I'm like, well, think about this. We can't have a simple conversation without some sexual joke being made. Something has always got to be said.
Yeah.
You know, every little situation, there's comments that are sexual being made. Like, I don't want to give an example, but
sure,
you know, it just
not the format, but still.
Everything has sexual connotations behind it. Everything, you know, like the dating world now. Dating is like practicing divorce, essentially. You know what I mean? It kind of, that's how I see it. Like,
yeah. Yeah. You're not lying, man. And we've talked about this a lot, about the devaluing of relationships and devaluing of men and the devaluing of women and the devaluing of marriage. And we can go on and on and on about that. And we have talked about it. Like, look, it's so easy to get married. It's harder to get divorced than it is to get married, but it's, you're so dissatisfied with your marriage, you will do whatever it takes to end it, right? Bro, if we would make marriage more difficult to do and make it to something you have to earn, it would get a lot easier, get a lot better.
And since we're on this topic, you know, again, I was talking to somebody and trying to explain to them, because this person wants a girlfriend, right? And they've been trying, ain't going so well. And I told him, I was like, well, to me, it's not a good idea for you to get a girlfriend because you just want it for the sex. He's like, no, that's not true. I was like, okay, well, let me give you this example. Say you get a girl that you really like, y'all start dating, and she tells you she wants to wait till marriage to have sex. What's your response? I'd leave. And you're telling me you don't want to be with her just for the sex? Why would it matter for you to you then?
Yeah.
That wasn't what is so important to you.
Right.
And when I said that, they kind of agreed and was like, well, dang, you know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can kind of see that. Yeah, I can see that. And I'm not saying that I haven't done the same thing, you know, because just like you, I don't have kids, but I did my fair share of things being younger.
Yeah.
And, but I see now that it's a chaotic loop. I don't want to get stuck in again. So it's better to, I realize now waiting for marriage is an important aspect.
There's value in it. And I think that people lost that value. And there's, can, do you want to diagnose why? Gosh, you name one in a million reasons. For one, the first and most prevalent reason is that the fall happened. Okay. This world is fallen. The enemy rules this world, and he has his influence over every little thing. Everything you see on TV, everything you hear in music, not everything, but everything that's
a lot.
Most accessible, the most obvious stuff, social media,
what's
internet.
What's trending usually?
It's all stuff that's geared towards sexual relations. It's all geared towards addiction, like getting addicted to things. Watch a football game. Beer commercial. Number one, I don't think there's anything wrong with the beer itself. It's about everything in moderation, right? Mm-hmm. You can overdo everything. Just like video games. You can overdo video games, right? Then what's the advertisement like?
Probably a half-naked lady.
Almost exclusively it's about that, or it's about two dudes picking on each other, mm-hmm. about a football team or whatever, right? It's the same across all, you know what I mean? Across all things that we watch, every TV show. I remember when I was a kid, you didn't hear a cuss word even as bad as damn on TV. It ain't like that no more. I mean, even on regular network TV, you'll hear several of the words. Now, they don't let you throw the F word out, and they don't let you throw GD out, and they won't let you say P-U-S-S-Y.
Yeah.
But I've heard dick on national television.
And not even just that. I go back and I've seen a lot of the kids' shows I used to watch. There's a lot of underlining sexual jokes in those
exactly.
shows.
Exactly. SpongeBob was bad.
SpongeBob, the Shrek movie, there's some...
Oh, yeah.
There's some,
that was an adult movie. Yeah, it really was. It was
some very sexual things that are underlining in those movies.
But so we don't want to, again, we're not, and I hope everybody understands, like, there's no judgment here. We're all broken, and we're all dealing with the same things. The world has fallen. So what are we talking about? Why are we talking about it? Because we want better, and that's what God wants. He wants better for you. He's not trying to take anything away from you. He's trying to tell you, like, hey, your marriage relationship is important, and I want that to come together. If you'll save it and make that sure that is between you, what
sacred.
You sacred, it's important, it's valuable, your relationship is valuable. All of this gets, it means when things get hard, you're willing to work through them instead of going, I'm done with this.
Right.
You know, don't get me wrong. There are times when I want to quit. I want to give up. So really we're talking about the breakdown of everything, right? Like I personally believe that the breakdown of society, the breakdown of humanity is the devaluing of relationship, not just marriage relationships, but friend relationships, our relationship with God. And really, where does that all come down to, right? It comes down to our lack of love and really not focusing on how we love people, right? We really just spend our time judging or being like, you know, worried about the things that they're doing wrong rather than loving them, rather than, you know, instead of trying to persecute people, trying to help them. And even if you disagree with somebody's behavior, I probably have hundreds of behaviors that others would disagree with. I guarantee it. It would probably break me down and tear me down for it, but I don't think that's how God designed it. I think God designed us to love each other through it, love each other in spite of it, and then hopefully be a good enough example to where it changes the behavior at some point, right?
Yeah, what you're saying, like, what is your motives when you're correcting someone?
Right.
What's your motive when you're talking about their sin? You know, 'cause of course, especially those that want to throw our religion in our face. And I don't even really consider it religion, just...
Yeah, our spirituality, yeah. Our relationship.
You know, they're like, if they know scripture well enough, they're like, well, how are you going to tell me about the plank in my eye when you got a log in your own, right? But like, yep. What's your motive? We're supposed to encourage others in the walk with Christ. We must not ignore the sins of others or ourselves, but
right.
Don't judge or condemn them for what they're doing when you're doing the same thing.
Yeah. In a different way, maybe. You know, I think that we have to understand that no sin is greater or less than the other, right? All sin is sin. It's all an affront to God. It's all, you know, offensive to Him, right? We have good news, though, and that is Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Right? So.
And something else, I think.
Go ahead.
And again, it's kind of, I'm not going to say I'm a harsh person, but I do remember a time when you've told me I'm a little brutally honest.
It's okay to be honest. And I am too. But it's also, delivery is important.
Right. And all I was going to say is just like, I feel like a lot of what today's world problem is too, is it's too soft.
Yeah.
You know, like, well, for instance, I'll say I don't believe in participation trophies. I think you should earn everything. And like in certain instances, like the gym I go to, of course, they're great trainers. They know what they're doing. But especially when it comes to the kids and stuff, a lot of the things they do, they don't really earn it. And that bugs me because they kind of, not saying giving them praise, but I don't think like they're pushing hard enough. They're yeah. just kind of like, I don't know, like you see one kid that's truly giving it all and giving it, obviously still encourage them
yeah,
and tell
sure.
them, you know, hey, you're doing good, but like if they shouldn't be getting the rewards of their rank for just showing up.
Right.
They need to be
right
working for it. And so I just think it's gotten too soft, you know, and the truth shall set you free. And
right.
A lot of people don't like to share, especially because most of the time when you share the truth, people, they take it as offensive.
Or
judgment. Yeah, exactly.
And I think that, look, that's a very dangerous thing being that, because what you're going to do is you're going to give them an overinflated sense of confidence and sense of self-confidence. And I'm not saying that self-confidence is wrong. I don't think that it is necessarily. But what you're going to do, if you continue on that path, you allow them to have this thing easily without actually having to earn it, they're going to get in a situation where they're going to have to prove it, and they're going to fail miserably. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, and the truth, it's harsh. The truth sets you on an uncomfortable path.
Yep.
But the truth rips you from the latches of this world, and it's comfortable lies that keep you running, basically running on a treadmill. You're running in place.
Yeah. Not going anywhere. We're just staying in place.
For instance, how does the saying go? It's everything you say should be the truth, but not everything that's truthful needs to be said. Like for instance, like someone that's, mom called me earlier, and she was talking about something with women things, and it's like, does this dress make me look fat?
Yeah.
She didn't really ask me that, but something like that. You know, it's like, I said to her, I was like, well, I bet Seth would be brutally honest to you about that.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, you and Joseph would probably try to spare my feelings. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, because Seth's really harsh. He just lets it fly. But
he has no filter as far as that goes.
But it's like, it was what she would, he said, yes, it does. Not referring to mom, actually, but let's say a 600-pound person was wearing a skin-tight clothing. Does this, make me look fat? Do you really want me to give you the answer to that?
The answer to that question is I don't think it's the clothes.
Yeah. It's like...
Yeah, I get it.
It's truthful, but did it really need to be said? I don't think so.
Sure, I had my wife ask me that Sunday. Does this make me look fat? And I said... That's an unfair question.
Yeah, why you don't ask a question you don't want the answer to.
Right. Well, personally, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I love you the way you are. That doesn't matter.
And
I'm fat too.
In all fairness, because that's none of my business, but it's like you shouldn't be worried about it, because if you know how I feel about it, what are you worried about it? What everybody else thinks? You shouldn't be.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that she thinks
you're
worried what other dudes think, but I have been in personal situations where the female cares about what everybody else is thinking, but what I'm thinking.
Right.
Well, if you care what they think, then bye. You go talk to them about it, not me.
Yeah, leave me out of this conversation. Yeah. I'm out. Yeah, I got you. Well, like you said, I don't know, man. I think, I know we can't solve all the world's problems. Understood. We can only solve... Not even solve. We can only help people in our sphere of influence. But how do we, there's one thing that we didn't address in the whole love conversation about where is the love. When the religious leaders asked Christ what the most important command was, he said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, body, spirit. And that's not exactly how it says it. That's just the way I remember it.
And then second, love others as you love yourself.
As you love yourself. We have lost self-love. We've been out of love with ourselves for so long. And it's because we try to live up to these standards that are impossible to live up to. And I blame some of that on religion, okay?
Yeah.
Even Christ talking about the religious leaders, said, look, you weigh people down with all these impossible laws, and you never lift a finger to relieve the pressure. You know what I'm saying? It's been like that forever. Nobody's actually, so it's no wonder that people go off the rails. It's no wonder that people are like, I just don't have it. I don't have this strength. You're right. You don't. That's why Christ did what had to be done. That's why God did what had to be done, right? That's why it happened. And we have made his sacrifice invaluable. It's not valuable anymore.
Right.
Because we don't care.
And I think, I was talking to John about this the other day. A lot of people, they don't want to let go of their godlihood. Everyone's got themselves up on this pedestal because, I don't need anybody. I don't need help. God didn't do anything for me. I did all this on my own. No.
Did you, though?
Yeah, did you? Did you really?
Did you, though? Hey, look.
And it's the pride and arrogance, like this dude I've told you about I work with. He is so high and mighty in his own life, and I've tried to preach to him. He's asked me for help, and I give him my opinion, He doesn't even remember a word I said because he is so much more, quote unquote, knowledgeable than I am. Why are you asking me for help?
Why did you even bother?
Why did you need help then if you're so great and grand, you know? But
people, man. And that's another thing that we touched on a little bit. Like, I think sometimes when we get into situations like this where we're on this path, people sometimes think that we look at ourselves like this. I didn't teach you that way, and I don't teach myself that way. Like, I'm equal to everybody, right? Now, I'm in a different position on the path. Don't get me wrong. Like, I have a little bit more knowledge. I'm doing things. I'm doing more things or different things, all that kind of stuff. I'm trying to lead. But I'm leading as though we're all together. I'm just the one who's taking up that responsibility. That's it, right? It's not because I'm greater or better or whatever. But let me tell you something, man. When you involve yourself and you spend a lot of time working with people, working with kids, trying to help a group of men, doing a podcast. I said this podcast. Obviously, I'm talking about myself, but trying to be not, yeah, I got you know what I mean? But and you see that nothing changes, or you see people revert back to where they started, you know, it's discouraging, and it's hard because it's like...
Frustrating.
It's like, look, I know how hard this is. I know how hard this life is. I know how hard this walk is. I know. You're talking to somebody who's doing the same thing, right? Everybody thinks that... Look, you talked about we just run on a freaking treadmill. We're not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. That's the opposite of what God wants for you.
Yeah, everyone's too comfortable.
Exactly. God doesn't want behavior modification. He wants life transformation, right? You cannot have life transformation if you stay where you are. You can't stay stuck in all of those things. You can't stay stuck in your love for money. You can't stay stuck in your pride. You can't stay stuck in your addiction. You can't. You have to move beyond it. And the only way to do it is to get really stinking uncomfortable.
And with this topic specifically, and again, because it's one of the only things I know something about, how I've tried to basically explain this same conversation to somebody else is I talk about, you know, going to the gym.
Yeah.
If you're uncomfortable, if you're hot, you're sweating, you're hurting, you're doing something right. You know, yep. If you're not sore, if you're not hurting, then you're not working hard enough. You know, and of course, if you take it like, well, stretching, because you can stretch a little too far and you tear something, right? But, like, working out is not comfortable. But the more uncomfortable, or more time you spend uncomfortable, the more you grow, the more muscle you gain, the more flexibility you gain.
Yeah.
And as a person that's spent years doing nothing but playing video games and sitting down, trying to do the splits for the last few years has been very uncomfortable, but it's gotten better and better and more. I've just pushed through that uncomfortability, you know, accept the truth that the only way I'm going to get to this level of split is by continuously pushing it.
Yeah. And you're kind of talking about something that this morning I got really, I wouldn't say angry, but I got agitated really bad at the gym because I went to the gym this morning. Ever since they released me to lift, you know, I just had elbow surgery and I'm able to start out. Of course, what's the first thing I said whenever I told you that they said they were allowing me to lift again? I said, I'm going to look like a savage picking up those 5-pound dumbbells. Yeah. Right, but what's my mindset? My mindset isn't about getting stronger and getting better. My mindset is about how dumb I'm going to look to all these muscle freaks when I'm picking up 5-pound dumbbells. I'm a big guy anyway. Even my doctor was like, you're big. Like, he wasn't saying you're fat. He's like, you're a big dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's like, I know that, you know, that 5-pound dumbbell is going to feel like a paperweight or feel like an envelope with no paper in it, but don't push it. You're going to hurt yourself. And if you have to come back in here to fix it again, it's going to be way worse. Mm-hmm. So don't do that, right? So I'm obviously following his instruction.
Yeah, don't worry about everybody else's eyes.
Yeah. You know, why? Why am I even worried about it? You know what I mean? But this morning I'm at the gym and he's told me to do what's called supination curls, right? Which is you start with your palm facing your back, and when you come up, your palm is facing you, right? And it's to build this strengthen this tendon and strengthen this bond and this muscle here that causes your hand to rotate,
right?
Right. Well, I can do that pretty fine. Hurts a little, not too bad. And I was like, okay, I'm up to 8 pounds now, by the way. I was like, well, if I can do 8 pounds, I can do regular curls with it. I can do maybe some military press without hurting myself, right? Something other than just doing these supination curls, right? I got to do something else.
Yeah.
So I started to do that. Bro, when I tell you that I was having a hard time curling 8 pounds, just regular 8 pound curl, it wasn't because I wasn't strong enough. It's because when I got to a certain point, it hurt so bad, like I couldn't make my arm keep going. You know what I mean? Like, it's so frustrating, but like, I made myself push it anyway, do it anyway, make it move. Even if you have to push your hand a little bit to give it a little boost, you know, whatever the case may be, I want to be better. I want to be stronger.
Yeah, go till failure.
Go till failure, right? I don't want to hurt myself, though, obviously, but.
Well, yeah, like, don't do something stupid.
But. Yeah, that I got doing something stupid is what got me there in the first place.
Right. But yeah, like, I've heard, like, I saw it earlier. It's kind of like a saying, but it's, you did something right if you failed, because some people won't even start. Some people are already pre-tell themselves, well, I'm going to fail anyways. I'm not even going to bother. Well, if you tried and you failed, you did something better than they did.
Gosh, man. I know you don't like to hear this, but you got to know how much growth I hear in your voice here when you say that, because there was a time when you had that same attitude. Know. You know what I mean? And look, I know it's difficult. It's difficult maybe for other people to understand, but like, you're sitting across from your dad. My son is sitting across from me. We're having a conversation. It's a great conversation, and I'm trying not to make it uncomfortable for you or anything like that. But like, to hear that level of growth, that's what we're talking about. That's what I'm talking about. This thing is all about. You know what I mean? There was a time when you were like, I'm not going to be good at it anyway. I'm never going to get it. So I'm just, I'm not doing it. You know what I mean? You tried it for 5 seconds. It was too hard. I'm done. You know what I mean? I remember you having that mentality at a time. And to hear you even say that now, don't get me wrong, I'm sure there are times when you might still revert back to that.
Get a little discouraged or something. Yeah.
But you've grown. And you've grown enough to understand that I got to get uncomfortable.
And again, I don't say this in a prideful way, but like, something, I have a friend that's, I won't say suicidal, but he can be very, very low in himself. And like, well, I don't matter anyway. My life has no impact. Everybody's life has an impact on somebody. I realize now that I have more lives on my shoulders than just myself.
Yeah.
You know, I can't throw my hands up and cry and give up.
Yeah.
Just because I'm upset for something myself. Like, there's other people that I will affect.
Yeah.
Just like what I'm saying with him. Like, he doesn't see it because he doesn't, like I've told you, he's kind of envious of the relationship I have with you, because he doesn't exactly have it the same way with his parents.
Sure.
I'm like, well, for one, you could be the one that changes that. You're just not doing anything.
Right.
You're not choosing it. You know, you have to go out there and try. And I'm sure when he listens to this, he's going to bust my ass about it. I'm sorry. But
you're good.
He's like, you're talking about me, ain't you?
Yeah, you'll bust your chops. Yeah. Your brother's going to as well.
Yeah, I didn't think about that.
Which is fine. I've talked about him before. He understands it. But all that reminds me, all of the things that we kind of just been talking about remind me of, like, there's a purpose for your pain.
Right? I remember you telling me that a long time ago.
Yeah. Well,
long time ago, as in like 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
I was in a pretty low place, and I just did not understand that.
Yeah.
And now I'm telling other people about it.
Well, but you know, that's part of your test. That's your testimony, right? The things that you go through. God's word says the pain that you're feeling today can't compare to the joy that's coming, right? It's hard to recognize that at some point the difficulty ends. At some point the thing you're dealing with goes away, you know, or you move past it. You move beyond it. It was very uncomfortable, but when you get to the actual end of it, and that's no longer a part of the equation of your life, and you really self-examine and look at how much different you are, you recognize how much growth you've had. That's the thing. And most people get stuck in this endless loop of.
It's because they're too worried about the destination instead of realizing that the journey is the important and the right. beautiful part.
Oh, Miley Cyrus, it's not this. It's not. It's the climb. Oh, no, God, I'm just joking. I'm just joking.
But it's like I heard this dude on a TV show say, "I wish you knew you were in the good old days when you're in the good old days." Or you know what I mean?
Wow.
It's like you don't realize they were the good old days until years later. And you're like, yeah. Dang, those were the good times.
Yeah. But you know what I've always found interesting, and I say this to my dad especially because he's older generation. You know, every generation has the good old days. Even his dad, at one point, there was the good old days, and his dad's dad had the good old days, and his dad's dad's dad had the good old days.
Yeah,
it's not. Yeah, the world is changing, ever changing. But the good old days of. Every generation has them.
We all have days we look back on and like, man, I miss those times.
Gosh, yeah, dude.
They were rough then, but I look back now, although they were awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, back when things were really, you didn't have to figure anything out. It just kind of happened.
Blissfully ignorant, yeah.
Oh, there's food. Awesome.
Yeah, I don't know where that came from. But there's a scripture, I'm pretty sure. I don't know word for word, but. I think it's when Jesus is sending out the disciples. He says something about them being doves, doesn't he? Being like doves.
Potentially, yeah.
I don't know. We were talking about the whole loving or the love situation like I was talking about with Paul.
Yep.
And here recently, when I've been praying, I've been trying to, you know, I texted you about.
I'll read that text if you want.
No, it was.
It was really helpful. If I didn't say that, thank you.
Oh, I'm sure you did. It was just about, like, how, yeah, well, where did the love go? And I wish, not obviously I wish everyone would love each other, but, like, obviously the way the scripture tells us that us specifically as believers need to love and be there for each other.
Yeah.
And I said it something like how we feel like soldiers in war yeah. that are bound together by their pain and war, but we're bound together by our love yeah. with Jesus
yeah.
or for Jesus.
Yeah.
And I've been praying recently, like, that we will all, us believers, will be like an army of doves together. Like,
yeah.
Because, you know, he didn't send us out to be barking harsh wolves, you know, the yeah. hellfire and brimstone stuff and
yeah.
all that,
yeah.
or to judge, but to be kind and loving. And I guess a dove, you know, I don't really know what a dove, I know it's a bird.
A dove represents peace.
Yeah, I don't know exactly the significance about it, but I knew what he meant when he compared wolves and doves and all that. Yeah, yeah, but yeah. I've just been praying that we could have that again, you know, have that
yeah.
connection, that bond of love and peace.
Which we can.
Well, yeah,
but it only starts with a small thing. It starts in a small group. With a small group of people, usually starts with one other person, and then you invite someone else into that circle. And look, there are people that you might invite in that don't belong, that you have to
right.
you have to go, you don't belong here.
And I think it's another problem. Have you heard the word cringe before?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I think the other problem, again, in today's world, I've experienced it. I'm sure most people have experienced it. I see videos about it. It's like, when someone really shares and shows deep emotion or care or something's important, people almost cringe at it and like make yep. fun of them for caring so yep. much or being loving. And I think I too fall in that category where like I'm terrified of that. I don't want to have to experience that. So like I don't share in a specific moment because there's other people there and I don't want to experience that.
Yeah.
Just like I've heard people, you know, I want to tell someone about Jesus, but with all these other people, I'm afraid of how they're going to react. I don't know how to deal with it.
Yeah.
And so I've been praying for that to something to assist me in that.
You definitely, you know? Well, we have to learn to listen to the urging of the Holy Spirit, right? And so like that, to me, the urging of the Holy Spirit comes from here. It's in your heart. It's in your chest. Like you just, yeah, you're thinking it. But you just feel it. You just know when it's like, I'm supposed to do something here. I'm supposed to do something right now. And Grandpa was actually talking about it on Sunday when he came up for prayer. And just like he felt that urging, you know what I mean? Like he felt called up. And I was praying for that. up there by myself. Well, I was I stand with a one woman to my right.
A very passionate woman.
She's awesome, bro. There's a lot of times if nobody else is coming up for prayer, I lean over and I'm like, hey, let's pray together. Just pray with me or pray for me.
And, you know, I've told John, and I think the last time I was on the podcast, you know, we were talking about being public with it.
Yeah.
I've told him about, I think his name's Christian or Chris, Christian? Pastor's son.
Yep.
I envy them because of the way they are and how freely it just flows from them and how that's not even a second thought. It's there. Mm-hmm. It comes out.
Yeah. That's a lifetime of that, though.
Yeah, exactly. And like that woman, she is like what I would, when I think of the kind of people that God really is pleased with, it's people like her.
Yeah.
She is so enveloped in it, in love with it, and believes in it. And
yeah.
Yeah. So it's almost uncomfortable because I'm not used to something being right. So like, man, how did you get this way? I want to be like you in it.
Yeah. And then when you go back to the very beginning of the conversation, we were talking about being obvious and like, you know, I'm not that. I'm certainly not those guys. I'm certainly not them. But take heart because you're not supposed to be them. You're supposed to be you. And I'm supposed to be me. And that doesn't mean don't grow and get better and become more like that. It doesn't mean that. But you're not meant to be them. You're meant to be you on your journey, on your path.
But they are great examples.
They are good examples. That's right. And you know, hey, we shouldn't be envious of it, though. We should hope to get there and work to get there. But God works through us in his time, you know. He knows right where we are, and we didn't start our journey as children. You know, I don't know about the woman that stands next to me on the altar ministry. I know Kristen grew up in this, you know what I mean? That church has been going for quite some time, and his dad's been in ministry forever. His mom's been in ministry forever. So, like, they grew up this life, you know what I'm saying? So, like, he's always been a part of it. Now, he could have gone the opposite direction, too, you know what I mean? So, fortunately, he didn't, and fortunately, they've all stayed the course and stayed on the path. But I know for a fact they've had trials, they've had struggles, they've had difficulties in life. And
they've been tested.
And they continue to get tested just like everybody else, you know what I mean? But look, our testing in the fire, being refined in the fire is part of it, right? Like iron doesn't become iron naturally. You have to blend two ingredients together, which is not iron, steel, I meant. Steel isn't naturally available. It's iron and carbon mixed together in the fire and melted together. And when it cools, it becomes steel, which is, you know, it's one of the hardest metals in the world. And they use it to build skyscrapers.
Yeah, we use it for everything now.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So there's a refinement process that comes through the struggle, right? Which is why we talk about Romans 5:3-5. I found it interesting that they used really all of chapter 5.
We were literally talking about it right before the sermon started.
But we can rejoice too in our problems and trials. We can rejoice. We can be grateful. We can be joyful even when we're struggling, even when it's difficult. You know what I mean? And that's what I'm trying to clothe myself with. But I think sometimes I focus on the struggle more than I do the joy. And that's where my difficulty becomes in being that example.
Yeah, you know, perspective is everything. You know, for you, you know, when something bad is happening to you in the moment, it's hard to look at the good thing or look, what could the good possibly be in this moment? You know what I mean? But it could be a moment to learn something from it. You know, it's easy from the outside to look at it and be like, look, dude, if you didn't get so negative about it, you know, it could be teaching you a valuable lesson.
Yeah.
And I think that just goes with, like we were talking about, with all the love situation and stuff. It's perspective.
Yeah.
It's when you're sitting at the front of the table right next to the king, you know, you feel real high and mighty. But when you're sitting at the end, for all you know, the king's looking right at you. He's not even worried about the dude sitting right next to him.
Yeah. Yeah. Perspective means a lot. and struggle means a lot. And we need to learn that we are not called to stay in our struggle, but we are meant to grow. We are meant to learn. Look, before anything grows, it has to die. Something has to die, right? You put a seed in the ground, it has to die for life to be born out of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, we just need to work more on focusing on, you know, not being so concerned with the outcome and not being so concerned with the struggle, and be more concerned with taking it one damn step at a time and getting through one step at a time. And even though it hurts doing that extra rep, or even though it hurts, do it anyway. Right. You know what I mean? Now, not in the vein of hurting yourself, like actually hurting yourself. If it's actually hurting you, stop that. Don't do that.
But if you want change, if you want something to grow, if you want a difference to be made, you're going to have to experience some bad things. You know, you're going to have to push through some hard stuff.
Yeah, you know, I've been pretty transparent on this podcast about a lot of different things that I've gone through in my life. There's a few things that I haven't talked about. I've talked a lot about just being raised in that discouragement and being raised to not, especially with my creative ventures, with the writing and stuff like that, like the discouragement of the people that should care and should enjoy or should like be proud of you, like giving you the, what the hell is this? You know, that butt taste thing in their face.
Mm-hmm.
it's real discouraging later in life, and it's a wound that still is there, but I've worked through a lot of that and I've been very vulnerable here. There's still things that I obviously haven't bared. Some of it because I'm not real sure I'm ready for some of the people involved to hear. I'm not sure. I don't know. Maybe someday those things will come out. I have written about some of these things, most of these things, but I'm just really grateful to God for not only having this moment to happen so that I could be aware and making me really understand something, but also having allowed me to go through enough to mature enough to be able to handle the situation with grace rather than falling apart. You know what I mean? And allow it to grow me past it rather than stay stuck in the pain of knowing that I haven't done a good job. You know what I'm saying? Can I be better at presenting myself in a positive and in a manner of Christ? Absolutely. I don't think I'll ever get perfect at it. I don't think any of us ever will. I know none of us ever will. But I can certainly do better. And sometimes I think that we get going along long enough, we think that we're doing good enough. But we have to recognize that, man, God is a God of greatness. He is a great God. He is above and everything, and he just wants you to go further than you are. He doesn't want you to stay right where you're at. He doesn't want you to stay in the middle of the ocean on the wind and the waves, man. He wants you to keep going and get to dry land.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And sometimes he will move the wind and the waves and part waters in order for you to get there quicker. And sometimes he wants to make sure you're trusting in him to get there. And so you got to stay there until you decide you want to do that or not. You know what I mean? So,
you know, again, we were last night, kind of the same topic. We're reading, we both apparently read the same book.
Thessalonians. Yeah.
I think, yes, at the end of the second one, when Paul's talking about, like, he's like, don't be fooled about people talking about when Jesus is returning, you know, and he's talking about, he's giving you explanations of what some of the things that are going to happen. And he talks about like when you're in a, basically, I think he says something like when you're in a generation of people that are basically doing everything the opposite of what God has said. And that makes me pretty afraid for a lot of the people that I know. I mean, I don't know. I can't help but notice, again, I'm not saying I'm guilt-free of anything, but
sure.
Like, you see, especially on social media, like how hateful some people are just because, like, as a Christian, I have never once attacked someone
for not believing.
Right.
I'd just be like, well, I hope I can help, or I hope you figure it out or find it. And they get so nasty about it.
Yeah.
And I really just don't understand. Because, I mean, I guess I can't say that because there was a point in time when I was kind of that way. When you tried to talk to me about it, and I was like, dude, you're
full of it.
You're full of it. Yeah, you're – and I just really don't understand where that comes from and why people are that way and why you – what makes people want to reject it. Is it because they feel like it's just a bunch of rules?
Yeah, and it's because they feel like God is trying to remove something from them. They're trying to keep them from enjoying life and like taking the good things away. And it's all lies. It's all a farce. It's all a.
But like that, you know, are there enjoyable things about lust? Yeah, but at the same time, it's not good to enjoy it. There's a reason he doesn't want you to fall into it and enjoy it so much. And if you enjoy doing, like, I mean, there's the people that enjoy mugging people.
Yeah.
You know, you shouldn't enjoy that. And if you do enjoy that, you're in some trouble for that. You know what I mean? And of course, and if you enjoy spreading that evil and that negativity, you're in danger of harming yourself.
Yeah.
Not just in this physical world we live in, when you're not here anymore.
One of the ways that you can understand that just because it feels good doesn't mean it is good is look at people who have spent their lives addicted. Seriously addicted.
It ruined them forever.
Some of them don't survive it. You know what I mean? And you know what they're addicted to? People who get addicted to like heroin and stuff like that, they're addicted to the first high because that first one is perfect.
And it's never the same after that.
It's never the same after that, right?
Even just something as simple as weed.
Absolutely.
It never feels the same after that first time.
Yep. And absolutely.
Then you start using it more and more and more, trying to chase that feeling, that high, and it never happens again.
Yep. And that's what you're talking about. You know what I mean? We're chasing that. Just because it feels good, just because it is good in a way, doesn't mean it's good to do. It doesn't mean it's good for you. Hey, you know what? Take it further away from that. Take it away from substance. Sugar. Sugar is terrible for us.
I'm addicted to sugar.
I know, right? I ain't gonna lie. Well, and I don't eat a lot of like candy and stuff like that, but like, and you've never been a soda drinker. You're a water guy. Water, every once in a while you'll drink a Sprite, but you know, Cokes, coffee, things like that. We love our sugar. You know what I mean? For me, it's more like the starches, like potatoes, breads, noodles. Those break down, that's carbohydrates that break down into sugar. I love those things, and I can't just avoid them in my life, man. It's hard, you know. But they kill you, and they're bad for you. It causes, you know, it's directly affecting our obesity, and it's directly affecting blood sugar levels and causing diabetes and
cholesterol
issues. Like, it's not good for you. It doesn't mean you can't enjoy it a little bit, but you got to know that you got to be in control. That thing is in control.
In moderation.
In moderation.
Don't be a slave to it.
Yeah. There are certain things that we can't not be a slave to, right? And so just because one person is addicted to heroin, one person is addicted to porn, and one person is addicted to sugar, and in our mind it sounds like not one of those is not as bad as the other, and the other is not as bad as any of them. They're all equally damaging, and that's the point.
They're just damaging in their own different ways.
That's it, right? And so God isn't trying to withhold your joy. He's trying to help you have joy outside of those things, right? And understand that you don't need them, you know? It's not because I don't want you to have them. It's because they're bad for you.
And something else I think a lot of people have an issue with, and again, I don't know exactly where the scripture is, but discipline is extremely important. I've never really been an overweight person myself, but like there was a point in my life when as soon as I got off work, I cared about nothing but just enjoyment. You know, I guess we're chasing dopamine. You know, it just... doing something just to quote unquote get my rocks off, not in the sexual sense,
for sure.
But I've realized, like, as much as discipline can suck sometimes, it is very rewarding. So it even is. Like that, like, I wouldn't say I'm like truly addicted to sugar. I am a candy dude. I am a cookie guy. I'm all that good stuff. So during the week, you know, going to the gym and work, I wait until Friday. And then Friday, I reward myself, and it's so much more fulfilling. And even have a friend that he's a video game guy, and I think most dudes I know are. They're fun, but I've gotten to the point too sometimes where I'm like, I don't want anything to do with the game. I've spent so many hours and so much time doing it. It's not fun anymore. Then I've discovered when I spend all week not touching it, get to Friday, oh my, it's so much more fun all of a sudden. You know, I played the same game before, but suddenly it's 10 times more fun.
Yeah.
And I think, again, including this specific person I'm talking about, they have really not figured out how to just step back from those things for a little while, have some discipline, have some moderation about it, and then come back and realize how enjoyable it is then and how much more rewarding it is then.
Right.
And, you know, the scripture about when Paul says, you know, don't whine and complain, you know, about work, you know, work. Don't work as if you're working for people, like work as if you're working for God. And it's like, I wrote something the other day. It's like I had an extra long weekend for 4th of July and my gym was closed too. And of course, I could have done things at home, but I got to like the final day of the extra long weekend, no work, no gym. And I read that scripture and I got thinking, you know, as much as I enjoy lazy days, I absolutely am like almost excited for the week to start again because I've figured out I need that schedule, that regimen, that discipline. And of course, if I'm just stuck at home all day doing nothing but playing games and enjoying myself, I feel it's tearing me away from God. But when I'm at work, then I go to the gym, my mind is focused. I'm home. Of course, I'm not perfect, but like, I'm thinking about being ready to come home, read, take notes, study, you know. But when the weekend comes, I kick back. I'm not going to say I don't read at all, but I'm definitely a little more relaxed, and it feels much more rewarding to come back to it. You know.
God gives rest, right? And it's okay to take rest too, right? I think that some people think that, look, we are to devote ourselves as much as we possibly can, and the world is a distraction 100%, and none of us is going to be able to avoid that completely. And we are, but he's not asking you to stay on the grindstone every day of your life for the rest of your life. He requires rest. That's why he created the seventh day, the Sabbath, right? Because he rested after working. You know what I'm saying? So don't beat yourself up for enjoying some things. But where does it sit on the throne of your life is the question, right? That's kind of what you're talking
about. Yeah, like I told you the day about this person I was talking to, and they were talking about some material things they really want.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I don't think it's necessarily wrong to want those things, but you have to be ready to give those things up for the person, the being God that gave them to you.
Yeah.
And their response was, well, I don't want to spend all that time and that patience waiting to get it and then get what I want and then have to sacrifice it for that. I was like, what do you mean for that?
For that?
For the being that created you and gave you all the things that you are ungrateful for, you're not appreciative of the things you already have. You're so busy looking at what you don't have, you're losing what you do have. Just like if you're so busy looking for the good old days, you're missing out that you're right there in it.
You're in the midst of the
same with going to the gym. If you're so discouraged that you've spent the last 3 weeks every day, at least 2 hours lifting, and you haven't made progress, or at least it hasn't seemed that way, I bet you if you compared yourself now to when you first started, there is a difference. It's just not where you want it yet. You're missing out on the journey getting there, on the enjoyment of it.
Yeah.
And when they said that, and of course the person I'm talking about is going to hear this, but I've already busted his chops about it. But I was like, dude, that made me afraid for him when he said that. I'm not going to say I've never said something like that myself.
Sure.
But that was rough.
I think the good news is that here is like we're not you're not saying this stuff because you want to hurt them or judge them. It's like, I love you, and I don't want you to be there. I want you to be past that. You know what I mean? I want you to be beyond that. So take courage, take encouragement in that. And same for anything that we talk about. Like, obviously, we say all the time, like, I'm no different. I'm there too. I'm in the middle of the struggle too, and I'm doing wrong things, and you know, I have my issues, and you know, all that kind of stuff. Like, 1000%. I'm not saying any of that, but I know that this life works. I know that this walk works. You just have to walk it, right?
And like we were just talking about with like perspective, you know, like you and Jason have talked, you know, how I'll just use you and Jason as an example, like, or him and Tanner. Tanner looks up to him, he looks up to you, but all three of you, or at least the head two, you and Jason are like, Me? You're looking at me. And it's the same concept. Like, I think, like, going back to the scripture when it says, you know, how are you going to tell your brother about the
speck in his
eye? Speck in his eye when you got a log in your own. I think when he said that, he's talking about if you're acting like there's nothing wrong with you, but how can you know everything that's, like, for instance, me helping my friend. I'm not judging him, but I'm telling him where he's messing up. But he sometimes takes it like I'm attacking him. Like, I've never once told you not to do the same thing to me. You just don't. But I care enough to say something about it. Right. I care enough to tell you. And, you know, when I think about it, you know, when Jesus, when he's, I don't know where he's at, but like a bunch of kids start coming to him. And the disciples are kind of like trying to shoo him away.
Like, hey, leave him alone.
And he's like, hey, don't yeah. shoo him away from me. And he says something like, those who don't receive the kingdom of God like these little children won't receive it.
Yeah.
And when I thought about that, think about kids. They absolutely, completely believe their parents. Right. When they're children, you know, of course, when they're little teenagers, they don't believe anything. They're smarter.
No, yeah.
But when they're kids, it's just like, you know, they believe Santa. They believe in the Easter Bunny. Think about that. A big live bunny that just drops eggs full of candy. When you think about that, it's crazy that they believe it. But the point is when I think about Jesus saying that, I don't know. I mean, think about kids. They're so imaginative. They're so trusting. Like, I've seen a baby just walk into a pitch black room, no fear. But me as a 14-year-old, like, oh, I ain't going in there. That's scary. That's a dark room. I don't know what's in there.
Yeah.
But when I hear him saying, you know, to receive the kingdom like a child, I mean, it's just that, like, utter and total faith and belief and trust in what God is saying. And so it's, like, I've heard a dude tell me, like, Aiden, I'm glad you're not one of those that just walks blindly. I disagree with you. I think that I, in a way, am walking blindly because I'm not the eyes, you know. I'm letting, like, as hard as it can be sometimes, I'm letting the Lord guide my steps, and I'm just, in a way, caution to the wind. I'm not being dumb.
Sure.
But if I'm just lost and confused, I just try to tell myself, the Lord's going to figure it out. He's going to deliver me wherever I'm going.
For we walk by faith and not by sight.
Right.
Yep. And that's trusting in him instead of trusting our five-sense reality, right? And
children don't do that. They don't do what we do as grown people. They just, hey, the Easter Bunny's out there. What? There's a bunny out there dropping candy? You know, they'd believe it.
I'm out. Where's he at?
Now when I say that, it makes me think, you know, because there was part of me that I don't necessarily think that baptizing a child, I'm not going to say it's wrong, but it's not right because I don't really understand what's happening.
Yeah.
But now that makes me all the more realize that telling children about God and Jesus early on is important because – and of course, some people will be like, oh, so you're going to use their innocence to just sway them in your ways. I'm like, no, but yes. Like,
I mean, yes, but no, it's not like that.
It's not a negative. You call it negative because you have all these horrendous things you want to do. I'm trying to just guide them in the right direction for peace and love.
And protect them from the mounds of BS that are coming their way.
Lead them to the peace I have now found and the trust I have now found. You know, I realize now it's important to tell kids about it.
Yeah.
And like, I remember one time in school, there was an Easter, you bought me a kid's Bible. And of course then I had no care. I didn't really understand any of it. Right.
Yep.
I took that Bible to school with me one time And the last time I did it, a teacher told me to put it away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when I think about that now, I'm like, why would you say that? I'm glad now that I've come back to it, but I think about, there is scripture about, you know, those who make a child sin. I don't know the exact words, but it's like, you're in trouble if you cause one of these little ones to sin.
To fall, yeah.
But to fall. Mm-hmm. I think about, what did you just do there? You discouraged the crap out of a child because I wanted to read this Bible. I didn't know what any of it meant. Yeah, of course, but I could have earlier if you hadn't discouraged me that way.
Yeah.
If you hadn't said something about it.
Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy how life is too. And I am very, very grateful. I tell you all the time, like, yes, I'm proud of you for being receptive to it, but I'm so, so proud of what God has done in your life and watching it happen. You said the same to me. You'll hear me talk about it on the last the podcast before this one, about you talking to me about, like, seeing real change out of me, because I was kind of trying to allude to, like, I wish I had been here sooner. I wish I had been raising you guys this way a little sooner and all that. And you were like, well, yeah, but is it better to be raised like that, or is it better for us to see actual change in you? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because kids, they don't necessarily listen to what you say.
Yeah.
They monkey see, monkey do. They see what you're doing, they're going to do that. You know what I mean? They're going to have utter trust in what they see you doing. And if they see you constantly in pursuit of God, they're going to be curious. What are you doing? If that's all you're about, if that's all you're doing, talking about, you know, see you or take, that sees that too. Like, I remember in a way being forced to go to the church as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I despised it because I didn't want to be there. I didn't understand any of what was happening. It didn't seem important to me. But I think if you just allow them to watch you doing that stuff, it will lead them that way.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it, in my opinion, it is better, like, because, like, the scripture when Jesus talks about, I'm sure there is joy in heaven for those that are already righteous or have always been righteous. But there's more joy in heaven over one sinner turning from it than 99 that are already righteous.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, yeah, I think it is better that you went through through a crap time, a very long, hard life, and then were saved. You know, it brought you. It, to me, it's all the more special that way.
Sure. It's almost like that denial of the thing you want so bad, like video games or sugar or movie or whatever.
And when you finally get it,
you're just like, oh, it's so good. Well, man, this has been a really good conversation. It took us a minute to get going.
Yeah, I was kind of lost because I'm not used to being the one that's having to make sure I'm bouncing back. Jason's real good about popping off and stuff.
And keeping the conversation moving. But we've been doing it together for a while now. This is episode 32, I believe. That you're now a part of.
What's the next one that comes out? Who?
The one that's dropping this Thursday will be episode 30. I think it's just me. It's just me and him. Yeah, okay. It's just me and Jason. So, man, again, thank you so much for filling in. It was a little bit late notice and all that kind of stuff. You're going to be bold enough to look into that dad joke book and see if you can pull one out?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. John told me a dad joke the other day, and he wanted me to tell it the next time I was on. And then, of course, conveniently, you told me to come over today, and we could not for the life of us remember what that joke was.
You
was
told funny. One last time you were on.
Yeah, and I did kind of mess it up because, you know, it's about the blind man falling in the well. Because
the man couldn't see well.
Because he couldn't see well, but I was supposed to say he couldn't see that well.
Oh, it makes it
more.
Got it.
Okay, let's
see. If it's highlighted, he's already done it.
Let's see if I can find one.
While you're searching, I think it's a good time to remind everybody that we do have, you know, some small merchandise. We have some stickers about 3 inches in size. It's just our logo with the Spotify code in it, and we've got some small. If you buy one of those for $3, we'll send you a smaller version of the same thing for free. You know, hope you guys are listening to us on all our platforms, YouTube, RSS.com, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, which is one of the bigger ones, and following us on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. And then we also have an email, bswunbound80@gmail.com. Brother Aiden, do you have one for us today?
Yeah, for some reason this one, yeah, it cracked me up. How many apples grow on a tree? All of them.
It's so simple, but it should have been the right. I should have known, right? I should have known. Why? Those are those ones that are like you expect it to be something so weird, and then
you
it's
get
not.
Too, what's the word? Like you get too think too hard about it.
Yeah. Okay. Today's bumper sticker wisdom. I think it kind of encompasses some of what we talked about today. Quote from Frederick Douglass. If there is no struggle, there is no progress.
Yeah, that fits pretty well with what we've talked about.
Oh, man. Thanks again for coming on.
Of course.
For Bumper Sticker Wisdom, I'm John.
I'm Aiden.
Peace.